SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm Craig Mish, along with David Smadick. It's time for us to dive into more fantasy football discussion. Of course, we are approaching Week 4 Fast and Furious tomorrow night. The Miami Dolphins will take on the Cincinnati Bengals. The Dolphins left South Florida today a little bit earlier than they would have wanted to due to the hurricane here in Florida, where I am right now. But naturally, Davis, I'm over on the east coast of Florida. But got to start off the show with definitely sending some thoughts and prayers, no doubt, with my friends over on the west coast of Florida, a place that I did live for 3 years, as it gets ready to make impact here coming up later this afternoon. So no doubt that's going to impact us in sports in a lot of ways, too.
I mean, yeah, we're already seeing, like, the Buccaneers don't know if they're going to be able to play on Sunday night against the Chiefs. We'll see what ends up happening there. I think that, the Miami Dolphins beat writers seem to suggest that basically the Dolphins haven't gotten to prepare for this game against the Bengals at all. They got through, like, I think on Tuesday they did a walkthrough, but obviously, you know, they just played that game in the 100-degree South Florida heat and humidity, so they were beat. Like, no way are they going through a full practice. Probably won't get a full practice at all before they play the Bengals. So maybe a good betting spot for the Bengals here with the short week for the Dolphins.
And I do think so, unfortunately. And again, Tua not practicing yesterday, they didn't practice today. And, so we'll just have to see going into tomorrow night what they can get in. I'm sure they'll have something tonight when they get into Cincinnati. All right, let's start off with our headlines here on the show today. Xavier Rhodes is back and he signs with the Buffalo Bills. They have a lot of injuries to their secondary right now. Turns out Myles Garrett did suffer a shoulder and bicep strain from his car crash. So his status in doubt for this week, no doubt. St. Louis Cardinals, they clinched the National League Central with a win over the Milwaukee Brewers. So they're headed back to the postseason. Davis can watch some postseason baseball if he likes in person this year. How about that? And Aaron Judge, 4 walks yesterday, Davis, as the Yankees are the other team making news yesterday in baseball as they clinch the American League East. In all likelihood, they're going to have a bye, so they will not have to play for a few days. But, Davis, we have a week left in the season, and Aaron Judge hasn't hit a home run in a week. So, pressing, I don't know if that's the word for it. I mean, the dude did walk 4 times yesterday, so we didn't really see anything to hit. But there's going to come a point where, I mean, we're going to start having to ask that question. We were kind of asking it yesterday, and I'm assuming that's going to happen moving forward.
I got an interesting question for you. You know, obviously, a lot of the Aaron Judge MVP odds was just, you know, done under the consideration that he would have what some people consider to be the home run record. I certainly would not think that. Barry Bonds hit the ball over the fence the greatest amount of times. But how much of what Aaron Judge is clearly the MVP, right? Triple crown, best season we've ever seen from Mitter. How much of that was predicated on the idea that he would get the quote-unquote clean home run record versus Shohei Ohtani, who now has the only season ever, no one else has ever done this, 200 strikeouts as a pitcher, 30 home runs as a hitter. Never been done before. How much of, you know, I've obviously been consistent on this. You have too. Like, any season Ohtani stays healthy, he is the MVP of the league that he plays in. I wonder if in this last little bit, if Judge, if he does not get to 62, I do wonder if a couple of the voters say, you know what, he didn't do it, I'm voting for Ohtani. Ohtani was the more valuable player.
Yeah. No, I mean, FanDuel is telling you that's not the case, and that Judge is far and away the MVP, and that's usually what I go by with these sort of things. I have not changed my opinion. I think that Aaron Judge is having one of the greatest hitting seasons ever. I think that there is some massive New York bias going on right now, in East Coast bias on this, for sure. I think that Ohtani, because he's playing on a team that is not good, has just been forgotten about, and he plays in a city where the other team is much better than his. But unequivocally, me growing up watching baseball, and even us, Davis, doing this 5 years ago, if we were doing a show and we said somebody in Major League Baseball would hit 30 home runs and strike out 200 batters, it wouldn't matter what anybody else did in Major League Baseball, that player would be the MVP of the league. And so I stand by that, and I will not change from that. And it is just unfortunate that we sort of have this lag and this just sort of deficiency to look at a player that won the MVP the previous year and not want to do it again. Now, we were proven wrong on that, I guess, with Jokic in the NBA last year, yes, which was a little bit surprising. So that happened, but I don't know. I just feel like the voters are going to get it wrong. I feel like Judge is having a phenomenal season, but as long as Ohtani is doing everything that he's doing and he's consistent with that, Davis, he's the MVP for me. And so I guess next year if he does this again, he doesn't win, right? Right? He can't win next year. How can they give it to him next year? I don't know how they can.
Well, they can give it to him next year if no one has a record-breaking season like Judge. Like, you know, like let's say, you know, player X next year in the American League hits 45 home runs, bats 280, drives in 100, scores 95 runs, but Ohtani just does this season again. Ohtani wins, right? Because it's a good season. Like, for example, if Paul Goldschmidt was in the American League instead of the National League and Judge was in the National League, Goldschmidt would not be the MVP with the incredible, very good season he's had. Ohtani would still win. It's the historic nature of the Judge season, I think.
I'll tell you why that's, no offense, doesn't make much sense. Because let me ask you this. What happens next year if Judge hits 300 and he hits 60 home runs again next year? Ohtani's going to win the MVP. And it's only because of one more home run maybe that Judge would hit. It doesn't even add up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It's time for us to dive into the waiver wire today here on the show. And naturally, Davis, some really good players out there this week. I think that this week's waiver wire in particular for shallow leagues probably going to find some answers, I would say, to different situations. So let's kind of dive in and go through them. And some of these are, of course, matchup based. So we'll dive into that as well. We'll start off with Detroit, and they, you know, look, Davis, at this point, they're not playing defense and playing a lot of offense, so Jared Goff has got to be a pretty good start. He goes up against Seattle. Marcus Mariota of Atlanta is taking on the Cleveland Browns. It's probably a grinded-out type game, so I want your thoughts on that. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I can't imagine Trevor Lawrence is available in a fantasy league at this point, but if he is, great start. And then Jimmy G against the Rams, I don't know, they scored 11 or 10 points last week, but certainly the matchup for Goff is really good. How about Mariota?
Yeah, the matchup is really good for Jared Goff. He's probably slightly preferred to me over Mariota just because Mariota has been doing it on the strength of his rushing. He's averaging 8.3 rushing attempts per game. That's quite good from your quarterback. But, you know, the odds of him running for multiple touchdowns, the odds of him running 100 yards, the odds of him throwing over 300 yards, all of that is way lower than Goff. The Falcons are just not playing as aggressively on offense. The Lions have been one of the most aggressive teams on offense. And, you know, the Lions are averaging over 30 points per game on offense. And you would also think that perhaps with DeAndre Swift out, they get even more pass heavy. And I mean, maybe that'll just be wrong. And Jamal Williams will just keep scoring two touchdowns every single week. But I do think Mariota and Goff are definitely the guys you're adding. Lawrence, I mean, look, if he keeps playing like this, he could maybe be a back end quarterback one, but horrible matchup for him this week against the Eagles. And then the other thing I would say is if you're in these deeper formats, you know, Tua's already owned, Goff's already owned, Mariota's already owned, I do definitely like spending a buck on Pickett or Willis, just pretty much every single week kind of waiting for them to get an opportunity because I think both of them should have a decent amount of upside.
All right, let's move over to running back. And at this point, there are some big names, of course, on the waiver wire. If Jamal Williams is out there in any league, obviously he's the number one guy. Beyond that, let's take a look. It's Khalil Herbert, of course, of the Bears against the Giants. We'll get some update today on David Montgomery, and that will be the key, I think, for him, Davis, for sure, although the Giants haven't stopped anybody on the ground yet. Craig Reynolds is another interesting name. Want to dive into him against Seattle. Of course, Reynolds of Detroit played a little bit in the past. James Cook of the Bills is getting some run. He goes up against Baltimore. And then Tyler Algier naturally is an option in much deeper leagues against Cleveland.
Yeah. Algier, I probably would not be super excited about adding. I mean, Khalil Herbert and Jamal Williams, of course, any league where they're out there. I mean, spend what you need to spend. I guess the issue with going crazy on Herbert was that the coaching staff said that David Montgomery, you know, has a chance to play this week. Mm-hmm. Now, on the converse of that, the Bears have been the run heaviest team in the NFL. Herbert, the game that he just had against Houston, better than any individual game David Montgomery's ever had. More yards than David Montgomery has ever had in a game. And we already saw it in weeks 1 and 2 when Montgomery was healthy. You know, Herbert still out there, still getting entire drives to himself, scores the goal line touchdown in week 1. I would definitely anticipate, if Herbert continues to play well with or without Montgomery, he's going to work his way into a timeshare where he will be fantasy relevant. Also, spending a buck on Treston Ebner, really interesting player. He had only 90 fewer receiving yards than rushing yards at Baylor. Now, he's an older prospect. I believe he is already 24 years old, but he came in and got 7 carries after David Montgomery got injured, then fumbled the ball, got punished for fumbling, got sent to the bench for that. But he's going to be their second running back this week. I do like spending a buck on him. Now, obviously, you know, part of this is we got to know what type of fantasy team we have. If you're 1-2, probably not adding James Cook if he got dropped in your league. But if you're 3-0, 2-1 with lots of points, you're feeling good. James Cook is a great preemptive add. He only played 11% of the snaps this last week against the Dolphins. But I mean, just looking at Zach Moss, like, they so clearly do not want to be playing Zach Moss. You know, like, they would love to relegate him to the bench the same way they did last year. They spent the second round pick on James Cook. I would be very excited about adding James Cook on good fantasy teams this week.
Yeah, definitely so. Seems like more playing time definitely coming for him. All right, wide receiver, an interesting group here. Always people are going to be poking on the waiver wire here for players here. Romeo Doubs had his best game as a pro. He goes up against New England. We have Zay Jones, who certainly seems to be more of an option moving forward for Jacksonville against Philadelphia. Matt Collins, who we've discussed a ton on the show, goes up against Denver. Cole Beasley, who we mentioned last week, probably picked up in some leagues, but, you know, that doesn't appear to be completely ready yet. Maybe this week is more of a week against Kansas City if they end up playing that game, wherever that may be. And then Michael Gallup, I suppose, if he was on the waiver wire or cut Davis before the season, looks like he's getting ready to make his debut against Washington.
Yeah, it is. It's not really a great week for the wide receiver position at the waiver wire because I just am not spending what it's going to need to get Matt Collins. I mean, look, if I could get Matt Collins for 5% of my budget or whatever, fine. You know, no problem. Good speculative ad. He leads the Raiders in air yards. Like, all of that stuff is fine. But I'm not, I mean, I think he's going to go for 10, 15, 20% in various leagues. Beasley, a guy I would leave out there as well, because Evans is going to be back this week. Julio Jones should theoretically be back soon. And then, you know, obviously Godwin is going to be back too. Beasley, I mean, you know, just kind of, and he's even behind Russell Gage in terms of playing in the slot. So I'm going to leave Beasley out there. Gallup, I think a really strong ad if he got dropped in your league. Rondale Moore, if he got dropped in your league, unclear if he is going to be back this week, but should be back eventually. And we've seen this role that Gregory Dortch is playing in. I mean, Dortch is just like, he just is getting every target. He got 10 targets last week. Like, it's a really good role. So Rondale should be back for that. And then Wandale Robinson has also probably been dropped in a good number of leagues. We have Sterling Shepard out for the year. The coaching staff hates Kenny Golladay, hates Kadarius Toney. You know, they're playing David Sills, you know, this 27-year-old total journeyman over those guys. So I think there should be a big role for Wandale left there. And then, to me, Romeo Doubs, better add than Jamal Williams, better add than Khalil Herbert. If Romeo Doubs was out there in my league, I would spend all of it, because really? I think he is probably going to be the number one wide receiver the rest of the way for the Green Bay Packers. The way they used him in that game against the Buccaneers, I mean, it was tight. They were having trouble moving the ball. Every third down, it was like they were looking at him. Now, Allen Lazard did make one great catch down the sideline, you know, perfect Aaron Rodgers throw, secured it. But Doubs looks like the more natural replacement for that Davante Adams role in this offense.
Yeah, interesting. I had Doubs. I had to cut him a couple of weeks ago. I picked up Osborne in that Monday night game because Gabe Davis was questionable, so I made that swap. I probably should have cut Daniel Jones, looking back on it now, as the backup quarterback. There's just no backups out there either, but that looks like a mistake for me. It happens in fantasy. All right, tight ends. We got Logan Thomas going against Dallas. Tyler Conklin, we've talked about a ton, against Pittsburgh. And Njoku, I would guess Njoku's owned at this point. And then Evan Engram against Philly.
Yeah, I mean, Evan Engram, good ad. David Njoku, fantastic ad. Probably the best ad you can make at tight end this week. You know, now, obviously, we're going to overrate a performance where he goes for 125 yards and a touchdown. That'll very likely be the best game that he has this season. But, I mean, Njoku, you know, I think very unlike Evan Engram and Tyler Conklin, kind of has that ceiling in him. Conklin, 4 for 40, good. Check it off. Like, that's totally fine, right? 4 for 40. But Njoku might give you some 3 for 12s, but also might give you 6 for 80 and a touchdown, you know? So I think he's the best tight end ad if he's out there.
All right, does make sense. And you know what else makes sense? Making key decisions coming this weekend in fantasy. We have to decide on some players this week. And so we're going to play a little game of either or coming up next, who to start, who to sit in fantasy football as we head toward week 4. So stay on the grid for that. Then we've got fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60, also keeping updated on any postponements or games due to the weather being moved around. So we'll have that for you as well, including updates at 2 o'clock today on Newswire. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. More fantasy sports today. It's coming up next, so stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes right after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock back with you. Key decisions to be made this weekend in fantasy football, Davis, and naturally, you know, the matchups definitely being a big part of that, and we thought we would go through some quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, so let's kind of get started here and talk about one quarterback that you knew that you'd be starting this season, one that you didn't think you'd be, and here we are, Davis, and here we are, week 4 into the season, deciding between Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals and Carson Wentz, who has thrown 7 touchdown passes this season, and Washington's defense has struggled, so Wentz has been in a lot of garbage time games. I don't know, Davis. I mean, I don't know that I'm ready quite yet to pull the trigger here on benching Murray over Wentz, but the fact that we're even talking about it, I think, tells the story.
I mean, I definitely think you're right. It tells a huge part of the story, which is that Kyler has just not run through these first couple games, and that's been a big problem for him. You know, that is basically what his fantasy value is about. Now, in week 1, 29 rushing yards, gets a rushing touchdown in week 2 against the Raiders, but only 2 rushes for 8 yards last week. Now, what I would say is you drafted Kyler in the 5th round. I don't really think that you can bench him at this stage of the season, especially if you drafted Hollywood Brown, if you drafted Zach Ertz, or if you picked up Gregory Dortch off the waiver wire, right? And Wentz, I mean, he showed us last week, like, it's just a problem. I mean, he's so bad, Craig. He is such a bad NFL quarterback. He eats sacks like absolutely no one's business. I mean, you are just going absolutely nowhere as a franchise if Carson Wentz is your quarterback, and I think we saw that in a big way last week. At one point, he had been sacked 3 times on 5 passing attempts, right? 5 dropbacks, 3 sacks. And, you know, the Dallas matchup, you look at it and you're like, oh, Dallas, you know, they kind of stink. No, Micah Parsons coming off that edge, DeMarcus Lawrence, like, he is gonna be a world hurt. So I don't think it's an insane question because the rushing production hasn't been there for Kyler. Wentz, you know, probably not the guy. Now, Jared Goff, I mean, I really might start Jared Goff over Kyler Murray this week. The number one quarterback I would bench, though, that was a top 100 pick, Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. I'm benching those guys for whoever. I'm not starting them in fantasy right now.
Yeah, I don't think you can in any scenario. And even with the Chiefs coming to town, potentially, you know, in a back and forth battle, I couldn't start Brady either. And yeah, I want to get into Wilson a little bit later. All right, at running back, it's been a tough start for Austin Eckler. Now, I would say this. Eckler has a really good matchup this week, Davis. And so I think for the future, if we were playing this game of would you rather, I think I may rather have Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the rest of the season. And the fact that I saw him getting some 1-yard goal line carries, I think was crucial. And Davis, I know that you illustrated yesterday here on the show that Eckler is simply not getting any red zone carries. But this, I think this is a week where I have to, I mean, we may disagree here, but this is a week where I gotta say my Eckler that I drafted, if this is not the week, it's never gonna be. So I gotta take my shot this week. Moving forward, I may want Allaire though.
Yeah, I mean, Clyde honestly is just getting very lucky on touchdowns. He had 0 rushing yards last week against the Colts. Jerick McKinnon played more total snaps than him. McKinnon has played more third downs than him on the year. It's kind of the problem that Eckler has, but in reverse. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting all the early down work, but then losing out on third downs. Austin Eckler is getting all the third down work, getting all the meaningful reception work, but is losing out on the red zone snaps and the early down work. And I mean, these two guys illustrate why we just want wide receivers and we have such a hard time drafting running backs early in drafts. I mean, Clyde has not even played 50% of the Chiefs' offensive snaps through 3 games this year. You know, Pacheco's getting in there a little bit. McKinnon is playing a ton. Eckler is just a shade over 50%. I would start Eckler this week. I mean, you just like benching your first round running back who is you know, has 8 targets in back-to-back weeks. Like, you're just not going to do it. But I clearly think our expectations for these guys have changed. We view Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a more positive light than we did 3 weeks ago. And, you know, if we were drafting again today, Eckler is not going in the top 20 picks, like 0% chance, you know, just because we have not seen enough to get him there. I mean, luckily, if you do have both of these guys, like they are, I think they are both clearly fantasy starters, right? Like you're not like, what are you benching these guys for Nyheim Hines or, you know, like no way. Yeah, it's just running back sucks, man. It just is a brutal position.
Yeah, no, it's rough for sure. And yeah, I think the shift is coming next year. I don't think you'll see any running. I mean, listen, people, I say this every year and then running backs get taken in the top 10 every year. So what do I know? All right, let's go to two players we actually talked about a little yesterday. Now we can do the either would you rather on them. We have DJ Moore, who has done virtually nothing all season, and Devin Duvernay, who, when Lamar Jackson Davis is dropping back on the 50-yard line and he's bombing it toward the end zone, I don't even need to look. I know it's attempted toward Devin Duvernay. I just may not see him the rest of the game. So which one of these would you play?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely down on DJ Moore relative to where I've just kind of held him his entire career. And it doesn't really have anything to do with him. The Panthers have been the slowest offense in football. You know, I think Matt Rhule is one of these guys who just, you know, very similar to Nathaniel Hackett. I just think he is totally, you know, basically, he just is totally above his head. For example, the Chicago Bears have 23 completions through 3 games, right? We all just acknowledge the Bears offense. It's out of like 1957, right? We're not starting Fields. We're not starting Mooney. We're not starting Komet. The Panthers have run 4 more plays than the Chicago Bears. 4 more plays than a team that we are just laughing at their inability to throw the ball. Just for example, the Cincinnati Bengals have run 60 more total plays. That's an extra game worth of plays through 3 games than the Carolina Panthers. However, Devin Duvernay has 8 targets on the season. It would have to be an extremely deep format for me to be starting Duvernay, period. I'm not starting him over DJ Moore, but DJ Moore, definitely a guy in leagues that allow trading, in dynasty leagues. I would actually sell low on him. Now, I wouldn't sell him for like Isaiah Pacheco or, you know, a backup quarterback in a super flex league. But if someone offered me like a second round pick that might be like a good second round rookie pick, or, you know, if someone offered me Clyde Edwards-Helaire for DJ Moore, even though, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is losing third down work and yada, yada, all this stuff, I would actually probably accept that. You know, I think that it would probably be fairly reasonable, which is not a sentence I thought I would ever say about DJ Moore.
No, definitely. So maybe DJ Moore gets traded. Maybe there's a change of scenery coming from him. Maybe that's the answer. We will see. Okay, let's cap it off with tight end. Would you rather, you know, sort of a no-brainer for me on this one, David Njoku, who's off to a really nice start, has a touchdown, has 13 receptions, sort of your middling tight end that's once every 3 games going to help you win. But I'm right back on George Kittle. I'm not quitting this. Jimmy G's favorite target the last few years. I don't know why they're not in sync yet. I know that he didn't play the first 2 games. Who knows how healthy Kittle was. But the 49ers are a good but not great team. And when they're great, it's Kittle catching 15 passes. I don't know when it's going to come, Davis. It's going to come, though. So I'm on Kittle.
Yeah, not really up for debate for me here. You know, Kittle, you know the deal with him. He doesn't have a floor as high as Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or Darren Waller. You know, his bad games are 2 catches for 18 yards, right? He's not going out there and getting 5 for 50 every single week. But Kittle is going to give you 50% more spike weeks than David Njoku and TJ Hawkinson and those guys. You know, he is going to turn in multiple 30-plus fantasy point performances in a season where he stays healthy. And, you know, I mean, we talked about this when Trey Lance did get hurt. I think it's clearly bad for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, what quarterback, you know, like absence makes the heart grow fonder? The only people who think Jimmy G is good are people who have not seen Jimmy G play in a while, right? Like, oh my God, Jimmy G, he gets them to the conference championship. He wins all these games. He's phenomenal. And then he's on an island game, a primetime game, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, I totally remember why they traded multiple first-round picks to not have Jimmy G be their quarterback, right? So you ride with George Kittle. You just deal with the bumps in the road, and you know, you take your medicine because he's the guy you want.
For sure. You know, I want to go back to Russell Wilson for a minute. You know how I felt about Denver the last few years, and I want to ask you, because I know that when we talk about this, a lot of it, I know you tend to put on the coaching. There's no question that a lot of it is on Denver. But when we talked about this before the season, I had mentioned I'm just not so sure about Russell Wilson. I'm just not sure that he's going to be the guy that he was in the past. Do you think that there will be a point where we'll be proven wrong? Davis, I don't even think a coaching change is going to change this. Simply put, there's too much talent for Wilson to be like missing these throws that he's missing, and he doesn't run at all anymore. So where do you have that pie chart? Is it 70-30, 60-40? Where do you have that at?
No, I don't want to absolve Russell Wilson. I should make that very clear. This is not all on Nathaniel Hackett. Now, Nathaniel Hackett is not helping, but the biggest problem, I actually think, is that Russ bails out of the pocket faster than any elite quarterback, right? His time to throw, like he moves left, moves right so fast. Like he gets a hint of pressure and he moves, but the issue is, guy's 34 years old. He just does not move the way he used to. It's harder for him to evade that pressure. I mean, we see this with lots of guys when they get to that age. Like, you got to change the way you play. Russ has not changed the way he's still trying to play like a 25-year-old, and it doesn't work. So I think it's like 50-50, honestly. I would certainly not put it all on Hackett.
Yeah, and they just extended him and traded for him. My gosh, Denver, what a pickle they could be in at the end of the season. If they're like a 6-11 team, and it's trending toward that at the moment, for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For those of you who are on social media, we're an easy follow on Twitter, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, for the latest news, notes, information, and of course, picks against the spread, and naturally all our fantasy football content you can find on demand and over at dailyroto.com. Davis will help you out, no doubt, for the upcoming week for sure. All right, Davis, let's go back to baseball here for a minute. The Yankees have clinched. The Cardinals have clinched. But the intrigue is now headed toward the Braves and New York Mets. As Davis, with less than a week to go, both teams are tied for the National League East. Both teams play each other this weekend, and both teams play the Marlins down the stretch. So before we do fantasy or reality, I guess we should ask ourselves the question, who wins the NL East, Davis? What do you think?
I mean, honestly, I hope for the sake of our producer, Brett Levy, that the New York Mets end up doing it. I mean, it is like, I don't know, it's cool to see both of the New York teams doing very well. I want to see this version of the Mets team, you know, win the pennant and be like, I don't know. The Braves are just like not really my team. And like, I think the history and everything is cool. I do like your buddy Alex Anthopoulos, but I don't know. And the Freddie Freeman thing left such a weird taste in my, like, just like what a weird situation. They offered him the money, but then he leaves and he fires his agent. Like, I don't know. I just have a weird feeling in general, like a free floating anxiety, I guess, about the Atlanta Braves. And it would be, and also this is such like a New York media bias thing, but like all these people I follow for like basketball and other sports are Mets fans as well, because they are from New York or from somewhere in the East Coast. So I think like a lot of the people, like, you know, Zach Lowe, huge Mets fan growing up, like talks about it on the basketball podcast and stuff. Like, I think I would be, it would make more people I care about happy to have the Mets win the division. So I got the Mets.
All right. Understood. Should come down to the stretch for sure. Let's kick it. Some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, we'll start off with the New York Mets. Last night, they took on the Miami Marlins, and somehow the Marlins came away with that game, but it did not come easy. As late in the game, Miami brought in one of their bullpen arms, left-handed pitcher Richard Bleier, and with a runner on first base, Davis, Bleier balked the runner over to second, and then a couple pitches later, he balked the runner over to third, and then he balked the runner home. Now, Davis, Richard Bleier is 35 years old and has never committed a balk over the course of his career. And Don Mattingly came out. He got tossed. Bleier got tossed. All you know what broke loose there in that game. A very odd set of circumstances, to say the least. Fantasy reality. We'll see another 3 balk at bat in the next 5 seasons. We may have been able to put a 0 after that 5. By the way, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I got absolutely no chance. I mean, how many balks are there even over the course of a season? Like, I'd bet my life that it's under 1 balk per game, right? And if you extend it even further, I would say probably even less than 1 balk per day of baseball entirely, right? So take every game in baseball, divide that by the number of balks, and I bet it's below 1. So I got clear fantasy here. Balks, what a weird play. I mean, one of the things that I've always loved about baseball is just all of these very bizarre rulings in general. Like, I think it's kitschy. I think it's cool. Whereas like the converse is like NFL rules are stupid, right? NFL rules are just of not, you know, the Calvin Johnson rule. T. Higgins has this touchdown, this incredible touchdown this last weekend against the Jets, called back because like he didn't drag his heel in the right way. And when it's called on the field, then it's more likely to stand. And if it's not called, indisputable evidence, yada yada. But yeah, I got total fantasy here. Absolutely no chance.
Yeah, this is it would be 50 years. Yeah, I don't know what was going on last night with this. Now maybe you could say that Richard Bleier balked the first time, maybe, but definitely not the second and third. And I just think that Bleier may have gotten upset, showed him up a little bit, the ump, and the ump just basically decided to make it about him. There's no other explanation for this. And by the way, Davis, even after the second time, for the ump to balk him home, I mean, you gotta be kidding me. In a tight game where the game means something to the Mets? Oof. I'm guessing an apology is coming today. I got to look into this a little bit more. So I have fantasy as well. 50 seasons, we won't see this. All right, Russell Wilson is back advertising, and naturally, why not? He's got a brand new contract. Of course, he's very famous. His wife is very famous as well. And some of the top athletes in sports have done ads for Subway. That would include Tom Brady, no doubt about that. You've seen this ad. I've seen this ad. Fantasy or reality? Russell Wilson's Subway ad is good.
No, I got fantasy here mostly because I don't believe that any of these famous athletes, Kevin Durant, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Draymond Green, I don't believe any of these people eat Subway. And the reason why I think that is Subway is gross, right? I mean, Subway is legitimately is not good. If you live in any city of any size, right? You live in Los Angeles, you live in Chicago, you live in Denver, you live wherever, you know, major metropolitan area, there is going to be a local sub shop, a local sandwich shop that is 30 times better than Subway. You know, absolutely zero question about it. And, you know, there's all kinds of weird stuff with Subway. Like a couple years ago, they had to have like a lawsuit because they had fillers in their bread. You know, it was like the bread was not even all bread. And I mean, look, when I was a poor college student, we had a Subway, you know, down in the basement of the Union at Kansas State. I'm not going to say I've never eaten Subway, right? I used to get a sub sandwich from there every once in a while, like whatever. It's passable, but absolutely zero chance that Russell Wilson has eaten Subway. So I got, and I kind of hate celebrity commercials anyways. They're generally pretty corny, like whatever. Yeah, I got fantasy. Not a good commercial.
Yeah, not a reality for me. I got fantasy as well. Bad timing, by the way, for all of this right now. Poor Russell Wilson. I don't dislike him at all. Very charitable. He was the NFL Man of the Year. I don't dislike Russ at all. But yeah, just the timing of all of this is just making it really tough, honestly. And hopefully for him, he can get Denver going good, and that makes a commercial good for Subway in general, Davis. I would say that it's probably a 2 or 3 time a year deal for me, just because I don't seek it. I don't seek it out. It would have to be, as you sure. said, like a matter of convenience. You know what my go-to at Subway, ironically, has been, it sounds crazy, is the meatball sub. I don't know why, but that's kind of been my go-to at Subway through the years. I don't know why I've just liked that. But anyway, that is definitely a fantasy for me. All right, finally, Ryan Reynolds yesterday posted a video of him talking about some ideas for Deadpool 3, and essentially goes through this whole spiel about how he was thinking, about he couldn't come up with any ideas, and talking about different possibilities. And then at the very end, he's in an apartment of some kind, or a house of some kind, and Hugh Jackman pops in, and he asks Hugh Jackman if he wants to be Wolverine again. And Hugh Jackman says yes. So naturally, that's the big reveal of this, apparently, for Deadpool 3, which is set to come out soon. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you will go see Deadpool 3.
Yeah, I got, unfortunately, I do have fantasy on this one. I did, the first Deadpool was great. Ryan Reynolds was great in it, everything. I just, for whatever reason, never got around to seeing the second one. Maybe that will be on my viewing list, you know, whatever, some fall afternoon, you know, because the thing, you know, it's darker outside. You're not really, you're not going outside. You know, I'm not going to go hit golf balls at 7 p.m. anymore because right. It's 40 degrees outside. It's dark. You just, I don't know. You just kind of get a little bit lazy in the fall and winter. You're not wanting to do very much exploration. So maybe I'll see it soon, but definitely, I mean, I have gone back to the movie theater, I think, to see three movies, maybe just two. I saw Jurassic Park, the new one, which was horrible. And I saw the James Bond one, which was really good, but I'm definitely, right. this is below my line for leaving my house to go to the movie theater. Deadpool 3 below my line.
Same with me. This is fantasy. Saw the first one, just like you. Didn't see the second one. Have no idea what it was about. Everyone seems to like these movies. Definitely a really good reveal there yesterday. So props to Ryan Reynolds for that. I thought that was cool to see the ending there. But what's the big deal with this? I really don't see it. So like you, I will wait for this on stream, if that, and watch it or not. But probably a big fat fantasy for me as well. All right, we do have some news in the NFL, so let's get to this. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, Davis, says Zach Wilson is starting this week, and he is back for the New York Jets. A little bit surprising, I guess, given that Joe Flacco 2 weeks ago played very well. This week, last week, didn't play very well. You know my feelings on Flacco, too. I think that he could start 17 games, Flacco, and that week that you saw 2 weeks ago is going to be the only good week he has. So I don't blame the Jets for doing this, but what does this mean for their offense, you think, going forward? Zach Wilson back this week.
Well, hopefully it means good things, right? Because Joe Flacco leads the NFL in passing attempts. Garrett Wilson has looked phenomenal. They've been throwing the ball to the running backs a ton. You know, Breece Hall had 10 receptions last week. But what you would be hoping is that Zach Wilson can come into this offense and replace a little bit of this passing volume with passing efficiency. I'm definitely a little bit skeptical, but I'm totally open to it, right? We have seen plenty of quarterbacks take leaps from year one to year two. We're seeing Tua take a huge leap from year two to year three. I like Zach Wilson, some of the stuff that he would have been having problems with as a rookie, he could have worked on that while being injured. You know, it was a lot of like mental processing type stuff. You don't need to be fully healthy to be working on that. What I hope is that Zach Wilson is, let's just give me 15% better than 35-year-old Joe Flacco, and I'll be pretty happy with what you have. Because the Jets do have a lot of skill position players that we are interested in, sure, in fantasy, right? Like, which not a sentence I think we expected to be saying.
Yeah, no, definitely so. So Wilson will be back for the Jets this week. Not the greatest of matchups. This could be a grinded out game. I think it's against Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that is the scenario going into this week for the New York Jets. Naturally, we'll talk more about this coming up at 2:00 Eastern on Newswire, so you can stay on the grid for that. And coming up at the top of the hour, it is the early line, so they will have the latest on all of the odds moving around the NFL and college football for sure. Davis, over at Daily Roto, of course, completely free and open for people to get set. And I know tomorrow night, Davis, here on the show, Dolphins and Bengals. So a game with a high total, you would expect some points tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm just like, totally intrigued by these games. I'm always intrigued by these games where I think one team is better. I think the Dolphins are clearly better than the Bengals. I'm kind of fading the Bengals as an entity, not as big on Joe Burrow, not as big on Zach Taylor, but the Dolphins are just at a gigantic disadvantage this week, right? Just a huge disadvantage with the travel stuff. So I just am kind of always fascinated how those things play out at the NFL level.
All right, we will take a quick break. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, and then the early line. So stay on the grid as we take our final time out here on the show. Davis and I will be right back here to preview that game between Miami and Cincinnati tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As we close you out, just a reminder, I'm back here at 2:00 Eastern for Newswire. Here's Davis today closing us out with the Sports Grid 60.
You know, this is a good time right before week four starts we talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday, but to evaluate the type of fantasy team you have and the types of players who should be making up your bench. If you're 0-3, if you're 1-2, you don't have the luxury of holding, you know, a Sky Moore, Samaj Perine, Jalen Warren type. You got to be making tough start sit decisions. You got to have, you know, maybe you do add Mac Collins this week, but if you have a really good team, right, if you're 3-0, Wandale Robinson, Rondale Moore, Sky Moore, handcuff running back Samaj Perine, right? Great add for those types of teams. Can't be holding second defenses, things like that. Definitely a good week to go through your fantasy teams and get your benches set up to reflect the quality of your starting lineup one way or the other.
Yep, really good advice there. And got to do that on my team this week for sure. I want to close it out with some clinching teams in Major League Baseball. Of course, the Yankees got it done. And by the way, I want to mention, the St. Louis Cardinals win the NL Central again. And it sort of just flies under the radar, but the Cardinals are like good every single year. It just doesn't matter who they have or what players they have. Just a very well-run organization. I don't think anybody's going to pick them to win the World Series, but when they get to the postseason, they usually fare pretty well in the first round. But congrats to St. Louis, another division title here in 2022. That'll do it for our show today. Again, thanks to our friends over at LTN and our graphics department and my co-host Davis Maddock and our producer Brett Levy. I'm Craig Mish. We got the early line coming up next. Newswire at 2:00 Eastern. For those of you in Florida, especially on the West Coast, make sure you stay safe. And wherever you are, especially in the South or near Florida, be careful. and stay dry. Have a great day, everybody.